Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cuck My Life podcast, and thank you for joining us. This is where we talk everything cuckold, real stories, real guests, and real cucks. I'm Hopeful, and I'm joined by my good friends and fellow cucks, Poor Boy and Aussie, and we are so excited to have an opportunity to talk to you today about getting into the lifestyle and what it looks like, and a little bit about some of the definitions, and a little bit about who we are, since this is our first episode. We look forward to having you join us.
Be curious, not judgmental. That's the way we try to live our lives.
It's more about talking about real life.
Hopefully we can kind of get you an idea of what works for us, what might work for you, and some things to think about.
There's no wrong way to do it, and everybody does it differently.
Try some different things out, and you'll try some. You'll think, man, I really was going to love that rocky road, and it wasn't what I wanted.
You're talking about having a threesome with ice cream? I love that.
The essence, really, that I see of being a cuckold is that knowing one's limitations and not having that be a restriction on someone else's pleasure, such important, like your own wife, is why we do this.
Treat her like you want to get to know her and you're interested in her, you might get to fuck her.
That is a crucial definition for a bull, not just a dude looking to get his end in.
I was in this state of euphoria that I can't explain.
One of the most powerful experiences I've ever had.
It convinced me that at the end of that event, I was like, there's no fucking question who you are. You're not just hopeful, you're the hopeful cuck.
Nice intro. Thank you. Well, this is at Cuckoo Cuck, which I go by the Aussie Cuck, because you can tell from my ridiculous accent, I am an Aussie. Living
Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
Oh, God, that shit just annoys me. But yeah, that's us. Yeah. Ah, no, that's all good. Yeah, look, Hopeful and poor little white boy and I and a few of the other cucks, we have this group, and we love to just, you know, it's been going now for, I don't know, how long has it been going for, guys? Like 2-3 years or something?
Yeah, it's about 3 years.
Yeah, you know what? It's just a group of us on Twitter or X or whatever the hell they call it these days. And we're just chatting cuck and cuckolds and all of the things that we do and what affects us. And more about than just talking about fantasy and porn and that aspect of it. It's more about talking about real life and how things affect us emotionally, how things affect our regular lives, get in the way of what it is that we'd rather be doing, and how our wives have grown and learnt and those sorts of things. So we wanted to bring that into a podcast. And
for none of the men here, is this a lark or a 15-second porn clip? This is our lifestyle. This is who we are as human beings. And we know that there are a lot of you out there as well. And we just want to share some of our stuff with you. We found a nice little support group, and we'd like to work with you guys to make you feel more support.
This is poor little white boy. You can call me Po Boy. you know, we all kind of come into this in different ways. And it's hard when you don't know anybody that's doing the same thing. I got a friend of mine, he's been doing this with his wife for about 12 years. He was telling me about how, you know, when they started, swinger stuff was all there was. And he's, you know, just, it's like, he loves that I'm the same, you know, cuck, and we could have lunch and hang out and talk and kick ideas back and forth. And it's a lot of fun, you know, and their lifestyle's a little bit different from the way we do it, but everybody does it how it works for them, you know? And hopefully we can kind of get you an idea of what works for us and what might work for you and some things to think about.
There are a lot of different ways to be in this lifestyle or to be interested in this lifestyle. There's no one way to do it. We always talk about in our little group that taking a page from the show Ted Lasso, and I think it was Oscar Wilde, who said, be curious, not judgmental. That's the way we try to live our lives, and that's one of the rules in our little room. There's no wrong way to do it. And everybody does it differently. So if you are listening to us and you are hearing us say, this is how we do it, we're not telling you how to do it. What we're trying to do is explain more than anything else that there are a million ways to do this. And that's the crux of the show that we've put together today, where we talk about the different definitions. But don't ever forget that just because we think this definition of this word is this thing, that doesn't make it so. You are the final arbiter of who you are in this lifestyle and who you want to be. And we respect who you are and who everybody is, always.
The definitions of words morph. They grow. They change. You know, for me, and look, even as anyone that's even heard any of these words before, when you actually start to get into the lifestyle, their meaning will change. They will adjust. And, you know, something like an FLR, a female-led relationship, you will hear that for the first time and go, oh, okay, well, that just must mean in the lifestyle, or it must mean, you know, in day-to-day, or it must. For me, it means something different. It means something different to me in my relationship where we are at. It will probably mean something different in a year's time, or 2 years' time, or probably 3 weeks' time, the way things are going at the moment. Getting some understanding of the words is a great place to start, but you will form your own understanding, which I think and is you'll super. Evolve.
You'll yeah, enter the lifestyle right. Thinking, I'm going to be this. But realistically, when two people, and if you're in the lifestyle as two people, like I am and my other hosts are, you are going to be influenced by what the other partner wants. And we all have to figure out what works for both of us and that communication level. We have a show coming up on communication, and we're excited about that one. But today we're going to talk about definitions.
One thing I like to do when people say, you know, if they use a term, they say, I'm a cuck, I'm a cuckoldress, I'm a hot wife. So what does that mean to you? Because I think that's where we really, you know, can find it, kind of figure out if we like take, say, the label is a thing to kind of give you an idea of a direction, you know, if you want to, it's a shorthand. But again, you know, I do it different than Aussie. Hopeful does it different than both of us. You know, it's just, I mean, the thing is, like, try some flavors, go to the 32 flavors and ask for a sample of pistachio, try some different things out, and you'll try some, you'll think, man, I really was going to love that rocky road and it wasn't what I wanted.
Ice cream is a great analogy, really. There are a million flavors of ice cream and everybody has a different favorite. But frequently, if your favorite's not available, there's another one that'll make you pretty happy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know what? Sometimes I like to mix them because I'm a fucking crazy bastard.
You're yeah. talking about having a threesome with ice cream? I love that.
If anybody wants to do that on OnlyFans, just let us know.
My OnlyFans is just me eating chicken wings and ice cream.
How many subscribers you have there?
So some of the topics, some of the terms that we want to talk about today: stag, cuckold, vixen, cuckoldress, hot wife, FLR. FLR stands for female-led relationship. That is a frequent occurrence within this lifestyle. It's certainly what I'm in, certainly what Aussie is in.
Correct.
Po' boy is a little bit more free.
So I think the words that weren't best for describing our relationship is like a cuck hot wife relationship. And I say it that way. So first term is cuck. I'm assuming if you found this podcast, you might've had an idea of something, but the easy way I think of it is like, basically she does what she wants to do. I don't really play that much. That's usually the way I say it to people too. They'll ask me, occasionally I'll get involved if there's a threesome with her and another person, you know, but mostly not so much going on for me, but I enjoy her having fun.
Do we, by the way. I love them.
I do tell some ribald stories at points, but maybe if y'all are nice, you'll get to hear some.
Yeah, balcony comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
And in descending order of control, I'll go next. I am the hopeful cuck. I am absolutely positively in an FLR. My partner, Mistress T, Tatiana, is 100% in charge. Now, we have a loving, respectful relationship, but she's smarter than I am. She's better looking than I am. And I just do what the hell she tells me to do. Now, we live in that FLR experience all the time where she is in charge and she enforces what she wants through corporal punishment, spankings, ball kicks, things like that. And she holds a tight control over me, which I am very grateful for. I need that centering. Sometimes when I come home from work all stressed out, what I really need, and she knows it, is that good spanking, and that it really does make my world a little bit smoother. I don't wear a cage all the time, but I am caged occasionally. It's been a while, but we are going back to it. And that is when you wear a chastity cage, and I think this is an important thing for everybody to understand, when you wear that, it's not just about denial. I always feel like when I'm wearing that thing, that that's just her holding something, guarding something that's precious to her, and using that to adjust my behavior so that I serve her better. And that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I am the other cuck. And so I would say that I'm definitely in the cuckold space. And my friend Hopeful there once said, Ozzy, you are cuck as fuck. And I'm like, yeah. So the essence really that I see of being a cuckold is that I take massive amounts of pleasure from seeing my wife pleasured. And that is not just sexually. It's just in life. It's in her having a relaxation time, knowing that she can go and sit down and I will take care of things. I'll do the dishes. I'll cook the dinner. I'll look after the kids. And she is sitting on her phone, chatting with some potential bulls and just enjoying her life. And it is so crucial to me that she gets that time and that she gets the pleasure that I really can't provide. Some people say, well, why can't you provide? What sort of man are you that you can't provide for your own wife? Well, like, I can. Of course I can. I can to an extent. But that's the thing. Knowing one's limitations and not having that be a restriction on someone else's pleasure, such important, like your own wife, is why we do this. And it's a taking something that is so stressful, that gives you immense amounts of anxiety and fear about losing or not being good enough, and bottling that up, communicating, and actually letting go of some of that masculine control and ego, letting them have the pleasure of their absolute lives and having their minds blown and them loving us for it.
Ozzy, yeah. I want to talk to you a little bit about this in case anybody ever listens to this. And I think that it's important.
Yeah.
She gets to go do what she wants to do. She gets to have, now I know for a fact, and we haven't really revealed this to the audience yet, I don't think, your partner has a secondary partner, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So she has a boyfriend.
Let's just be clear, a very large penis.
Yeah.
Right. And he can satisfy her in a way that you just can't based on.
That's right.
Do we agree?
Absolutely. But
when he satisfies her, when he makes her happy, when he fucks her until she screams and cries and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, you're turning me on.
It also makes you very happy, does it not?
Yeah, it does. It really does. After she's been with him for a night or whatever it happens to be, she walks in the door floating on air. Like, her hair looks amazing. Her skin looks amazing. Her smile is beaming. I know that she is coming home and that she's not smiling because of what happened. She's smiling because now she's home. She's home and she's had a wonderful time. And now she's back with her family and she has got the absolute best of all worlds possible, because I am loving for her when she comes home and the kids are here. Things are tidied up. Dinner is cooked. Things are done. She is living a life that is just, you know, unthinkable, you know, to so many. But it is achievable. The other thing that I want to point out there, though, is size definitely isn't everything. And it's actually not most of it. It's actually about performance and her lovers or her boyfriend caring how much pleasure she is getting. And that is the essence of a good bull. And if there's any potential guys out there thinking, oh, I'd like to be a bull, that's something I'd like to do, I don't think your size really matters that much. It's about how you carry yourself, how you perform, how you actually go about using your equipment and doing it well and not coming too soon, getting erections, all those sorts of things are so much more important than just size.
That's such an important definition that you just brought up. The term that you used is bull.
Yeah.
Can you explain what bull means to you?
Awesome. Okay. So in my experience, I think a bull is, he's the third wheel that makes this whole thing work. So definitely not really a third wheel, but the third partner in this whole thing is the bull. Basically, that's usually your wife's lover. Now, sometimes the term we use bull, people can use it to mean somebody that's even more involved in the couple's relationship. The bull might be, you know, telling the cuckold what to do or whatever. The bull might be a guy she sees sometimes, you know, for some fun. I think that sometimes in the, I want to say like the literature, but whatever, you know, the stuff you see online, the videos and stuff like that, sometimes you get different impressions. But basically, when we say we're looking for a bull, we're looking for a guy that my wife is going to enjoy having a good time with.
Yeah, I think you touched on something good there as well, which is there, and I've heard this from a definition point of view, from a cuckold perspective, and I've had someone try and, well, correct me. There's a seems to be a thought that if you're a cuckold or you identify as a cuck, that must mean that you need to, that you enjoy the humiliation aspect, that you want the wife to humiliate you, that you want the potential play partner or bull or third to also humiliate. And that is what makes you a cuckold. And as opposed to a stag. I disagree. I think there's certain aspects of humiliation that I like, but it's indirect. It's not that someone just shouting abuse or spitting or pushing me down on the floor or something like that. It's the subtleties of humiliation and the odd word here and there about like what they would say when they say it and some of those things. You know, I feel them deeply and I revel in it. But there's always so much contrast with real life. Contrast runs through all the shades of gray. Pornography and what you see online in those sorts of videos and that sort of stuff always seems to be at the absolute highest end of contrast on one way or the other. And that's the only way because that's what's entertaining. But it's not really a good reflection of what I think real life is.
Well, because of our individual, because of our Twitter profiles, I think every one of us, and you guys can push back on me if I'm wrong, have been approached by some guy who's like, oh, how can I fuck your wife? And they will frequently jump right into, you're a cuck, you should do what I say. My answer always is, yeah, I'm a cuck for her. Not you, asshole. Yeah. Calm down. Yeah. Right? Like, yeah. And I think that's something important to state. If you are one of those people out there who thinks that they have the potential to be a bull or who wants to be a bull, and again, a bull is that third partner, that partner who does the fucking the cuckold can't do or the fucking that makes the stag happy. And I think that's a pretty big distinction. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who wants to do that, I always tell anybody who approaches me about Tatiana, I say, listen, I don't have any say. She doesn't ask me who she can fuck. That's none of my business. I can say no if I want to, but I don't get to choose who other than I don't like that guy, so no. She doesn't ask my opinion. She's not interested. She does what she wants to do. And I always tell guys when they approach me, I say, listen, I don't have any say over whether she fucks you or not, but I can tell you a couple of things. And the most important thing I can tell you, and this is the most important thing I can tell you, if you treat her like you want to date her, if you treat her like you want to get to know her and you're interested in her, you might get to fuck her. If you treat her like you want to fuck her, you're going to be blocked.
That is a nail on the head. This is not a brothel. You do not just walk in and throw down your cash. This is not how it works.
This is not an unimportant thing. I'm her favorite person. Other than maybe her children, I am her favorite person. If you come in acting like an asshole to me, you're not going to go anywhere, right? This is all, this whole lifestyle, in a lot of different ways, it's a game. In order to be invited into the game, in order to be invited into my relationship, to be part of our sexual dynamic, number one, you have to be respectful. That means no fucking dick pics. That means you don't call anybody a name. We're all just getting to know each other. Let's get to know each other and then decide if we want to fuck. After we want to fuck, then you can negotiate with her, not me. What is okay, what's not okay. But until you get to that point where you have established enough trust that she's ready to talk to you about that, any talk about the physical is foolish. It's going to make you look bad, and it's going to make her push you away in my relationship.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, because we all also, I think, you know, this is a great place to discuss this, is we all find people differently. So some men do the vetting, and some of the cucks do the vetting, and they're on the apps, and they talk with guys first and then hand them over. And then others like me, like, when guys approach me, I'm like, I don't, like, I'm not the one to talk to. Like she hates it when I do that shit. You know, like, Eve hates it when if I'm vetting someone and I pass it over to her, she doesn't feel nice about that. So I'm like,
you want to fuck my friend Bob?
yeah, that's right. So I'm like, no, that's not how we do this. So she is the one that's in control. She's on the apps. She's got the profiles. She gets the messages. You know, that's how we do it. How do you actually come about it?
So on the apps and things like that, that's more my domain. Basically, she doesn't mess a lot with the, you know, sort of the social media and stuff like that. And so if we're meeting somebody on, say, SDC or through Twitter or somebody in a Telegram group or something like that, a lot of times it'll be like I'll kind of visit with them a little bit and chat first. And then usually I'll tell them, you know, hey, here's what she like. I don't usually shoot somebody down first time, you know, unless they come in like way too, if they come in disrespectful like that. Yeah, no, you know, that's not. But, you know, generally somebody that comes and approaches and is respectful. And there's a lot of guys that sort of understand that, you know, to be respectful, to be like, you know, hey, I'm interested in your, you know, meeting your wife or you and your wife or whatever. And I'll visit with them a little bit. If they seem kind of all right, I'll say, you know, hey, what do you think about this guy? And that base picture, you know, a person picture, not a dong picture, right? Dong pictures come later.
Oh, listen, okay? Dick pics are an automatic, right? It is. And look, realistically, one of the reasons why we're interested in this, one of the reasons why she's interested in this, is because she's a bit of a size queen. She likes a big dick. She likes.
That's another term. I have got all these terms. Size queen. Yeah, Eve is definitely on that thing of size queen, but I think size queen is it's relative. It's like it doesn't have to be. There's no measurement that is correct. It is 100%.
It's individual to each person. But I will say this, the measurement that makes Tatiana happy is larger than my measurement. Let's say that, all right?
Yeah. Cool. See, that's where it's a good place to start, right? So, you know, if there is a range, it's above me by a bit.
Well, here's the deal, right? If you have a 5.5 to 6 inch penis, which I do, and you want to fuck my wife, she's not going to be interested, right? Yeah. She's just not. But she doesn't.
Yeah, so you need to see a picture to find out.
Agreed, but not right away. Until there's chemistry, there's no need to see what your penis looks like. They all look the same. just at different ratios.
Yeah, and look, I guess this is something as well for the cuckoldress, right? So the cuckoldress term is what I would refer to as Eve as, and she is a cuckoldress because I am her cuck. I am committed to her. I do not play with anyone else. I have been involved with her in threesome sort of scenarios, but mostly from a support perspective. We did do some play earlier on where I was uncaged, and it was awkward because it was awkward for me because I have performance anxiety and have performance problems from a premature ejaculation point of view. So I didn't want to end things, you know. I didn't want to. That got into my head, and I was like, I don't actually think this works for us. She was too distracted with this this other guy to sort of pay too much attention to me, and it just didn't work out. So we found earlier on that sort of dynamic didn't really work for us. But if I'm caged and I'm there supporting and holding things and being a support third, that works for us. It works well. But I'm hers. So she is a cuckoldress. I'm her cuck, and that's what makes her what she is. Do you guys also relate to her as that?
Oh, absolutely. So now, Austin, we've known each other for years, and I've watched your relationship with her progress, and she has certainly grown into a role. Like her presence on Twitter now at Cuckoldress Eve is astonishing. She has she has threads where she explains, I think, brilliantly, very important items of the lifestyle and how she perceives it. She supports other queens. Clearly, you are her cuck. There's no question about it. I think you would say the same about me, but I wouldn't put words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, totally. And look, I think, we all sort of come on and off the platforms a bit, depending on how much other things in life really get us way down. But yeah, 100%. You, Tatiana, she owns you in every sense of the word, which is magical. When the exchanges you guys have on Twitter, just
she says jump, and I just start jumping. I don't ask how high. I don't nothing. I just fucking start jumping. And if it's not high enough, trust me, she'll fucking tell me.
My mom used to say you're supposed to jump and ask how high on the way up.
No, that's good. That is a good one. Yeah. So I just also want to cut back just a moment there too, because something just came to me as it does, about what a bull is. And I think every person generally in the lifestyle and just in life in general has always had a tendency to look at their own understanding of something and just go, well, this is the way that I do it, and this is my interpretation of what these things mean, and these are the things that I like, this is what I would consider my kinks and that sort of stuff. And I have a big list of them. I think we all do.
We don't have that kind of time to list mine.
Yeah, it's why we're doing a podcast. There's so much to fucking talk about. Is that for a bull to be successful, in my mind, is their kink or their interest needs to be wanting to have sex and pleasure a wife, a married woman, and enjoy that for what it is that she is married. Not just a dude that wants to get his end in with any woman who's willing to participate. It's that the aspect of her being married and knowing that there is a cuck or a stag or however you identify, that they are involved and that excites them. That is an interest for them. That is a crucial definition for a bull, not just a dude looking to get his end in.
100%. Without question, to be a real lifestyle bull, you have to be interested in the couple and not just the woman. There's no question about that. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not get laid with a hot wife or with a cuckoldress when you're not interested in the cuck. That can certainly happen. Mistress Tatiana can do whatever the fuck she wants. And if she found somebody she wanted to sleep with who wasn't interested in her relationship dynamic and she wanted to do that, she would do it.
Mm.
but a real bull in order to be, if you really want to be part of the lifestyle on that side of the fence, you have to be interested in the couple and you have to be interested in the guy. Again, I'm just going to say this, and I mean this. My wife is beautiful. She's incredibly sexy. She is so fucking fascinating as a human being. But if you don't respect me the way she wants you to, she's going to be done with you. I am the love of her life. The fact that she needs to fuck other men to be sexually satisfied doesn't mean that I don't satisfy her in every other possible way.
And even still sexually. Like, that's the thing. It's about flavors, right?
We do okay.
It's not everything. Yeah.
We haven't had a bull in a couple of years because of a bunch of stuff that's been going on, and everything's fine.
Should we pull apart one more thing?
Let's talk about, should we talk about the word compersion?
So the word compersion is something that you'll hear in circles. It's definitely something I've heard around the cuckolding hot wife lifestyle. What do you guys think when you hear that one?
Bossy?
Yeah, I think it's a great word because the way that I've heard it defined, I guess simply, and I think it's a simple definition, is it's like the opposite of jealousy. So that feeling that you get when you see someone doing something, whatever it happens to be, and this doesn't have to be, you know, your wife, you know, seeing and talking with another man and you feel jealous, or you see someone that buys another car, and you feel jealous. It's the opposite of that. It's basically going, I am feeling good and warm inside seeing that person having a wonderful time. And like I say, it doesn't have to be sexual. I mean, in this sense of the word, I think it surrounds that, or it's around them being pleasured. So seeing your other half getting pleasure is, it makes me feel compersion, makes me feel warm and happy, almost loved, because they know that I'm looking. They know that they don't have to feel guilty. They don't have to feel like they're doing something wrong. They're doing something that I've given them full express permission to do, and they're lapping it up and really letting themselves go with it and explore. That makes me happy. It gives me compersion.
I have a wonderful story about this. Years ago, in our first experience, we met a young man off of the Twitter, and we met him. We had drinks with him. We went to the hotel room. This was our first experience as a couple. You know, we had that whole sneaky signal thing where she was like, all right, she gave me the code word. I don't remember what it was. She was like, all right, he's an Aussie. And I was like, okay, all right. And then she got up and she excused herself from the table and she went back to the hotel. And he was like, where'd she go? And I was like, you and I are going to wait here for about 25 minutes, half hour. We're going to let her get ready and then we're going to go over. And about an hour and a half later, or an hour and a half after we got into the hotel room, the situation was over. The young man had left. And I was in this state of euphoria that I can't explain. Before we started, I was like, listen, you have to promise when this is over, you're going to get me off. Like, I don't want you to be so exhausted, blah. Like, we have to, like, it's going to be important to me to
reconnect. Yeah.
Yeah. And when it was over, all I could do was buzz. I was just so happy. So fucking, I liken high. It to yeah. being high. Right. Yeah, I was just so high on the energy, on her pleasure, on what she was able to experience, that I wasn't thinking about sex. I wasn't thinking about anything other than how happy I was to be in the presence of this amazing woman who was able to do the things that she had just done. And then she ordered a pizza and the wrong fucking pizza came, and she called up the manager of the pizza store and she was like, fuck you, you sent us the wrong pizza. 10 minutes, I'm not kidding, 10 minutes later, the manager was at the hotel room with the pizza going, listen, we're so sorry, here's the right pizza. We got two pizzas for the price of one. It was and even that made me go, like this idea of taking pleasure from somebody else's pleasure, that's a very real thing. And the word incursion, whether you like the word or you don't like the word, that feeling of being overjoyed to see your partner joyful, I think the world would be a better place if more of us did that.
Seems like joy is one of those things that, like, if you can spread it, you might as well, right?
Just like bullshit.
Well, so I was going to say, joy is one of the things that you usually want to see more of in the world, right? Bullshit, not so
less,
much.
Less, yeah.
Yeah,
look, I think if we look at the jealousy term, what is it that makes us feel jealous? You know, I don't know that many dolphins, but I think we're the only people that feel jealous, right? And it's like, why is it that when we see other people having a great time, that makes us feel upset, or it makes us go, oh, why isn't that me? Why can't I have that? Why can't I feel how they feel? And that's a terrible thing. You know, I think it's just based around insecurity. It's based around not knowing what makes us happy and not recognizing what makes people around us happy and being happy for them when they're happy. And that's where compersion extends from that. It's not like giving your dad a birthday present and he's like, oh, I really wanted this. That's great. You feel happy about that. This is that next step. It's that step of, I'm not saying I feel this way when I give my dad the present because I feel like I have compersion. It's with my wife, and when I see her being pleasured, it's that next step. It goes to a visceral feeling of joy and fulfillment and happiness, and you can feel it inside.
Agreed. Again, I was beaming. She was like, do you want me to get you off? And I was like, I don't think you could. I was just so happy that sex no longer mattered to me. I can't even explain that. It is one of the most powerful experiences I've ever had. And it convinced me that at the end of that event, I was like, there's no fucking question who you are, hopeful. You're not just hopeful. You're the hopeful cuck. I'm just going to say I love this conversation with you, gentlemen. I thought it was wonderful. I was so grateful to have this.
It's because I think that this was a very powerful conversation, and I enjoyed working with both of you.
And I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to Cuck My Life today, for joining us here. If you have any comments on today's episode or any other episode that we've done, or any questions about us or for us, we are happy to talk to you. Details are in the show notes. From the whole panel here at Cuck My Life, take care, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks a bunch.